Check. Am I on? I think I'm on. Praise the Lord. Today is a special day in many ways. Today is what we refer to as the day of Pentecost. Now, I know you have some ideas as to what that means. I even heard, I think, a little discussion this morning, Jenny, about the day of Pentecost. I thought, great, she's stealing my thunder. So I tried to listen to your message, but I was really busy getting things prepared, so I was hoping you weren't going to steal my thunder, but that's okay. We can say it the same thing. Say the Bible does say, you know, we speak with one mind, and so I think we're going to do that. But today is the day of Pentecost. In the Jewish system, what that meant was that after the Passover, and, you know, they had to, I hope you remember what the Passover was, but that was when they were in Egypt. And when the Passover occurred, the death angel came through and it took the firstborn of all living, okay? Even the animals, I think, and it took the firstborn of all the Egyptians. And the only way to escape from the Passover is if you made a sacrifice of a lamb and you took the blood and you put it up on the sides of the doors. If you think about it, the blood on the sides of the doors and the blood on the top, it kind of makes a cross symbol with the crown of thorns and then with the handprints. So I think it was a type. It was a symbolic type of what was to come in the future. So they celebrate the Passover, but then they had what they called the Feast of Weeks. Now, what that meant was there were 7 full weeks that went by after the Passover, and they would celebrate the first fruits, okay? This is when they would raise their crops and they would present some of the first fruits to the Lord. That was in the Jewish tradition. And it always happened on the 50th day. Pentecost is not in the Old Testament. It just simply means 50 or 50th. That's all. That's all the word means. It comes from the Greek. I can't pronounce it, but it comes from the Greek and it just means the 50th. Now, for the Christians, for us, it was the day when the Holy Ghost fell. This is basically when the Holy Ghost was given and the church was born, essentially. The church was born at that time. And so when the Holy Ghost was given, it gave them power, power to preach, power to go out. You remember Peter, he denied the Lord 3 times. And Peter was always impetuous. I mean, he did all kinds of things and he would say things. I like one of the Gospels where they were up on the Mount of Transfiguration and Peter and James and John, they all saw Jesus glorified and they also saw Elijah and Moses. And Peter, and the Bible says, not knowing what to say, said, Lord, it's good for us. So if you don't know what they're going to say, why say anything, you know? And Peter says, Lord, it's good for us to be here. We'll build a tabernacle, you know, like a little temple, a small temple for Elijah, one for Elijah, one for Moses, and one for you. And then that's when the cloud came down and the voice of God came out and said, this is my beloved son, hear ye him. In other words, Peter was focusing on all three, but Jesus was the only one left in the midst. So focus on Jesus is basically the message there. Well, Peter was so impetuous, but on the day of Pentecost, when the Spirit fell, it came on them as tongues of fire, it made them bold. It gave them power. If you feel like you're living a Christian life, but you don't have power in your life, it might be because you haven't quite released the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. And you might be thinking, well, what do I have to do with it? We got some lessons coming up on Sunday nights. If you'd like to come, we can teach about that and teach a little theology. I can't do it all in one sermon. But we're going to kind of give you just a piece this morning. So what we're going to do, we're going to just simply talk about when Jesus was getting ready to leave. He knew what was coming. I don't know what your last words would be if you knew you were dying tomorrow. I don't know what my last words would be. And you know, a lot of people don't get those last words. Some people want to wait until the very last second, until they're on their deathbed, or that they have the presence of mind and say, at the last second, Lord, forgive me. I accept Jesus Christ as my Savior. Will He save you? Yes, He will. He will. But I have encountered too many people who have an accident and they're in a coma. Melissa, I'm sure you've seen them. Anybody who's a nurse, I'm sure you've seen people come in. They don't have any last words. They don't wake up. I went and visited one guy in the hospital. He was in a coma. Somebody asked me to go, and when I went in there, he was by himself. They had a radio playing, and I'm not against any particular type of music, except rap maybe, but not against much type of music, but they had country music playing. And here this man was in a coma. And in a way, I was sad. I would hope that if I was in a coma and couldn't hear, and somebody wanted to keep me on life support, play gospel. Give me words of hope. I don't want to hear country music about somebody cheating on somebody else. And I know that's not what all the other songs are. There's some good songs out there. I'm not down in country music. But I want to hear songs of hope. Because I may not have the last words. And the nurse came in as I was standing there, not knowing what to do. Have you ever thought about that? I'm standing in front of a man who's comatose, and I didn't have a clue what to do. And I asked her, I said, I don't think he can speak because they had a tracheotomy in him. And I said, I don't think he can speak. I said, but can he hear? She says, oh, yes. Sometimes they can hear for a long time. Okay, she leaves. And I'm praying there. Y'all got to forgive me because I'm such a newbie when it comes to trying to figure out what to do and things. And I'm like, Lord, help me. I said, I don't know what to do for this man. So I prayed a little bit, not too loud. You know why? I was afraid to pray loud with this man in the comatose because I was afraid he would think he was at his own funeral. I don't know if that's stupid or not, but I was afraid that if he heard me praying, that he would think he had died. And I didn't want that. And I was like, Lord, what do I do? So finally I walked over, got real close to him, got real close. I mean, a foot away. Called out his name. I said, if you would only say in your mind, Lord, save me. I said, Jesus will save you right now. And that's all I said. And then I got the bejeebies scared of me. He started coughing. He had a fit going on. His body was convulsing. And I'm like, oh, no, what'd I do? I didn't touch anything. I promise. I didn't hit a button. I didn't do anything. The nurse comes running in and looks at me like, what'd you do? And I didn't do it. I'm like, so here I am with this dumb look on my face. And I said, all I did was say something to him. And I said, he started convulsing. And she went, okay. So she got him, calmed him down. She talked to him. She calmed him down. And so here I am thinking, I'm like, Lord, was that just a coincidence? Was that a coincidence? And so you got to test that theory. So I went back up to him, got real close, called out his name. I said, if you would only say in your head, Lord, save me. And Jesus, come into my heart. I said, you will be saved. Did it again. Started convulsing, started coughing, started doing all this stuff. Nurse comes running in, looks at me, what'd you do? No, I didn't do anything. I mean, it's the same thing. But I thought, he heard me. God, I believe. I believe I will see that man in heaven. Because I don't believe twice like that in the identical fashion that it happened is a coincidence. I think God showed up. The Holy Spirit was there. And I went back to see him, I think a week later. They had moved him to a different room. Unbeknownst to me, he was in ICU the first time, but unbeknownst to me, when they put you in, I think it's called progressive care or whatever it is. It's probably the next level down. But he was... I don't think he had life support this time. I think he was off life support. And I tried talking to him again. Same words. Nothing. Tried talking to him more times. Nothing. Didn't get a response. I stayed there probably an hour. Nothing. Never responded again. Died 2 days later. So I wonder, did he have conscious ability just for those last few moments? Was it enough? I won't know until I get to heaven. I won't know. But my point in saying all of that is, folks, is that you think you might have another day coming. You may not. We just witnessed, we didn't witness it. We saw the aftermath of an accident as I was coming to the hospital to visit my sister. She's in the hospital. And I should have gave out prayer requests for her. God forgive me. I'm such a newbie at this. But anyway, we were coming and there was a tractor in the median had gotten turned over. Looked like it had gotten rammed from the back, but I couldn't tell. I couldn't see exactly how the accident happened. And people were in the median helping someone. And we were debating on whether to stop, but they had already a bunch of people, so really we were probably be in the way, and I thought the best thing, course of action to do was to pray. Pray that the man was saved, pray that if he wasn't saved, that he would somehow get to hear the gospel one last time. One last time, if he could hear it at all. I don't know what the situation was, but anyway, cops and police cars and fire trucks, so they were all coming. They were just flying by. Folks, you don't know. I know I went a little long on that part, but I want to read, start with the scripture. The message is called God in You, and I'm going to be talking out of John 14. We're going to start with verse 15, and I want to pause on each verse, Carol. So go to verse 15, please. This is interesting. Jesus, on his way to the cross, he had some last words to say to his disciples. And this is how he started out even before this, but I got down to this part. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. So there's a song that somebody had written, and it comes out of the scripture, because somewhere in the scripture it says, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. Jesus loved his disciples. He loved all the people that he came in contact with, except when those that he tried to kill him and stuff like that. He loved them all right, but he pronounced judgment on them. Man, can you imagine being one of the Pharisees? Go look it up in the gospel. Jesus was speaking directly to the Pharisees, and I'm pretty sure he pointed his finger. He said, you're going to die in your sins. If Jesus pronounces that kind of a judgment on you, oh my goodness, you don't have a chance anymore. But he said, you will die in your sins. But Jesus says here to his disciples that if you love me, keep my commandments. And so now he continues on. He's going to make a holy request. That's what I called it. Next verse, please. Verse 16. And he said, I will pray the Father. That's an interesting phrase. We say pray the Father, but it means ask. He's going to make a request of the Father. He's going to ask the Father for something. And he said, and before I move on, because Jesus does the will of the Father does not deny Jesus anything he asks. That's how Jesus says, because he says, I'm going to ask the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. Now, that's what you guys were talking about this morning. It comes from the Greek word parakletos. And it says here that he may abide with you forever. And I love that word. I'm glad he put that word forever, because sometimes I feel like I'm all alone. But what the comforter means, and I looked up this word, this Greek word, and it has two types of meanings. The first type, it's sort of like a married couple, me and Deronda, Michael and Melissa. I mean, it's somebody who comes alongside you, who's beside you, who's there to help you. And Deronda tells me all the time, she says, I'm going to support you in all you do. which I couldn't do this without her support. But she helps me. She comes alongside of me. And that's what the Comforter will do. And Jesus is asking the Father, and you got to work this out in your own theology, because Jesus is doing the asking. I will ask the Father, and He will give you another Comforter. So here we have three components in here. And it said that He may abide with you forever. And I couldn't make this life. I couldn't live this life without the Spirit. That's what He's talking about. He's talking about the Holy Spirit. That's why we have our banners up today. Come Holy Spirit. I'm sure you're going to hear some messages in the very near future about the Holy Spirit and things we need to do. Again, I'm going to start preaching on a series on Sunday nights most likely. And I hope you come out, because I don't know about you, but I've gone through seasons in my life to where I feel like, you know what? God's just not doing much for me right now. I need God in a bad way and nothing's happening. Well, I tend to get in the way. You know what? I tend to not trust God. I actually read a book, heard a message called The Christian Atheist. That's an oxymoron if I ever heard one. A Christian atheist? What in the world is that? I can't possibly be one. And then I heard the sermon. Do you trust God for your needs? For money? For food? For clothing? Do you trust God's going to watch over your children? There's times I have to pause. Yes, God, I trust you, but, you know, I got a bill coming up. I trust you, God, but that's a Christian atheist. We say we trust the Lord. We're saved, but we're trying to surrender ourselves, release any hindrance that holds us back, so that God, it's out there on the wall, can show Himself strong on behalf of the man whose heart is perfect toward Him. In other words, if you love the Lord and you think He, believe, have faith, He will take care of you. He will take care of you. He wants to take care of you, but He wants you to trust Him. Hardest thing to do sometimes. Oh, it's easy to trust when things are going good, but when things are not going so good, trust is a hard thing to do. This is where the Comforter comes alongside. The Comforter is there to help you, to put His arms around you. I don't know if you've ever had a situation. When my mom was about ready to pass away, I was in a car and I went to the hospital room and I talked to her for a while. And she was getting to the point to where I think what happens is it's the carbon dioxide that builds up in the bloodstream, and then she begins to sleep a lot. I almost think that's a blessing from the Lord, because she ends up dying in her sleep. But when I was in the hospital, she couldn't answer me very much. So I knew it wasn't much longer, and I came out to the car and I started praying, but all I could do, I could hardly say a word. All I could do was just weep. Just weep. And it wasn't because of sadness. All I could do was just weep, because I felt this weight, and I knew it was the Holy Ghost. It was just this, I can't describe it really. It's almost like being under a waterfall. The sheer weight of it was pressing me down, and all I could do was just lift my head, and I was just crying my eyes out, not saying a word. And every once in a while I'd just say, Lord, help me, you know, and that was all I could get out. And finally, it just lifted. Oddest feeling I ever had. And it happens occasionally, but it was the oddest feeling I ever had. That's the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit helping you. He's coming alongside and He's telling you, I'm here. Earl, I'm here. I'm here. I'm with you forever. Don't think I've gone on vacation. I'm with you forever. And I forget that sometimes. Or if I don't forget so much, I don't acknowledge it. But He's with us forever. Next verse, please. Verse 17 says, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Do you know why the world cannot receive it? They can't receive truth because a lot of people don't believe in Christ. They don't believe in his power. They don't believe that he even lives. Or even if they do believe he exists, they don't believe he can do anything for them. It's that lack of faith. See, we receive Christ by grace through faith, through believing. And so he says here, even the Spirit of truth, talking about the Holy Ghost, whom the world cannot receive because it sees him not. It doesn't see him. It doesn't see God in creation. They see him in evolution. They see everything else but God. And neither knoweth him, but you know him, talking to the disciples, but you know him, for he dwells with you, and get this, and he shall be in you. Not only is the Holy Spirit alongside to help you, but now he's saying God is in us. Man, I don't know about you, but I can't wrap my mind around that. God is willing to dwell in this person standing right here in front of you. I'm a sinner saved by grace. And God is willing to dwell with you, each and every one of you. Not a single person in here needs to leave this house unsaved. Not a single person. But he dwells in us. And he will dwell with us forever. Now, I told you there were two terms the way the word comforter is used. The first term is that helper. He comes alongside to help. The second term is used in a legal fashion. Is there any lawyers in here? Anybody, attorney or anything like that? Because I don't want to tell a bad lawyer joke. Actually, I'm not going to tell any, but I just wanted to make sure. Because somebody might have been holding their hand back. They don't want to be identified. I mean, these days, what was it? I guess I'm going to tell a joke. They said that the three main people you can't trust is a used car salesman, a politician, and a lawyer. So there you go. There's the corny joke for the day. But the Holy Ghost is also an advocate. He defends you. The Bible says he comes alongside you. And he will be your comforter. He will not only be your helper, but he will defend you. When Satan attacks you, he's gonna try to tell everybody in the world and anything and you. You know, Satan can easily tell me things. He can tell me things and make me think bad of myself. Earl, you're too ugly. You're not worthy to do what you're doing up here. You're this, you're that. And I have to say, get thee behind me, Satan. Because the Lord dwells in me, and the scripture says, greater is he that dwells in us than he that is in the world. Talking about Satan. Greater is he, the Holy Spirit. Greater is he. So God shall be in you. I have a hard time imagining that God would do such a thing. But I'm so grateful. So when you give your heart, when you surrender to the Lord, he will come with you. He has promised that he will do it. Next verse, please. He says, and this is the scripture that made me pause, and I hope you see it too. Stop a moment and think about what Jesus is going to do. He's going to ask the Father to send another comforter. Okay? There's a sequence of events there. Jesus says, I'm going to ask the Father, and he will send another comforter. So he says, I will not leave you comfortless. Who's coming? Says it right there. Jesus says, I will come to you. Did you grasp that? Wait a minute. I've read that scripture two or three times. I thought I read it wrong. Wait a minute, Jesus. You said you're going to send another comforter. But then he says, I will come to you. That tells me they're all one. They're all one. Jesus, the Son of God, the Father, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, They're all one and the same. They're all one. They may have different offices, but they are all one because Jesus, where is Jesus right now? In heaven, standing by the right hand of the Father. You were absolutely right. Making intercession for us. And in one case, and it probably happens more often than we know, but when Stephen, was going to be stoned, he said, I see heaven opened. And what was Jesus doing? Standing. Jesus was watching what was going on as Stephen was being stoned. Jesus is very much interested in our lives. He is. He wants you to succeed. He didn't call you to fail. He didn't call you so that you would drop out, so that you would back away, fall away. Some people do fall away, unfortunately. But sometimes that's because they get into another doctrine. And they leave their first love, which was Jesus. And then they go follow after some other doctrine. Well, here he says, I will not leave you. I will come to you. So if you ever hear me talking and preaching and saying something about the Spirit of Christ Jesus, it's all the same. It's the Holy Spirit. It's the Spirit of Christ Jesus. God is a Spirit. The Father is a Spirit. And so here we all have Jesus telling them that I'm going away, but don't worry about it. I've got it covered. I've got somebody coming. And then he says, I will come. The other day, I heard two kids talking, and you know how sometimes you hear children talking, chattering in the background, and you're not really paying much attention. I was on my phone like everybody else, tap, tap, tapping away. And all of a sudden, I heard one of them say, one was older, one was younger. The older one says, you lied. The younger one said, I'm sorry. The older one says, don't tell me you're sorry. Tell Jesus. And the younger one says, well, what do I say? The older one goes, tell Jesus you're sorry and you want him to forgive you. Out of children's mouths, they know the way to the gospel. They know the way to Jesus. That's all you have to do. Is tell Jesus you're sorry for who you are, for what you've done, and save me. Please forgive me. The story, and I won't read it, but I'll just quickly tell you, when the two people went to in the temple, one was a Pharisee, supposedly the most religious man you could get, the highest office you could reach in your religiosity. And then on the opposite extreme, the very opposite extreme, was this guy that was a publican, which is a tax collector. And because of who he was not allowed. You know how Deronda was talking about, I can walk now into the Holy of Holies? Well, back then they had specific sections you could only go to. And even the Pharisee could only go to this one section, but he could go to a pretty high section. He couldn't go into the Holy of Holies, but he can go into the pretty high section because of who he was, because of his stature, because he was a Pharisee, a very religious man. And he stands up and he's thanking God. Don't you just love people who are so sure of themselves? I thank God that I'm not a sinner like this man back here. You know, I tithe everything I have, even his herbs, his mint, his rue, all the things. He tithes everything, even his herbs. How you like that? Not just money, but even his herbs. And he says, you know, he as good as I fast twice a week. Oh, that's so good of you, Mr. Pharisee. You fast twice a week. You deny your body of food for 2 days in the week. There was no requirement he had to do that. There was none. He only really had to fast on the Day of Atonement. That was once a year. But anyway, he's sitting here naming off all the things he's done, how good he was. The publican, the tax collector in the back, the opposite extreme. And I think Jesus told that story so that he would show people that even the worst of sinners, that's us folks, even the worst of sinners, it said the man couldn't even look to heaven. Have you ever been so embarrassed, so downtrodden, so put down, so weighted down that you can't even look up? I have. It's hard sometimes. It's hard to look up. And finally, he started beating his chest. And the only words he could get out was, "Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner." That's all. That's all he said. "Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner." Jesus said, "I tell you that that man, the sinner, the tax collector, went down to his house justified," meaning he got in contact with the Lord. He got in contact with the Lord. That guy went to his house justified. The Pharisee did not. And so religion doesn't have anything to do with coming to Jesus. It's just part of who we are. But coming to Jesus is coming with a humble heart, with the knowledge that you are a sinner, and you simply say, "Forgive me, for I have sinned." And so I want to wrap this up by simply telling you that without the Spirit, this book would not be understandable to you. A lot of people try to read it, a lot of people try to understand it, but without it, without the Spirit, because He will guide you into all truth, we just read it a minute ago, even though I didn't emphasize it, to read this book, to understand the Word of God, requires that the Holy Spirit be in you. Oh, you can get facts and figures and some things out of it, but you really won't grasp the theology. But with the Spirit, it opens up a whole new doorway to the book, a whole new doorway to this. And I'm still finding things that I, after all these years, I'm still finding things. I don't know about you, but I'm still finding things. I want to read the next scripture. I'll put it on the screen. This is why I say, if you don't have the Spirit, it says, "Now if any man," in Romans 8, 9, "if any man have not the Spirit of Christ," same as the Holy Spirit, "he is none of His." So you can come to church, you can sit in the pew, you can hear the services, and you can do it every time the door opens. It will not save you. Only if you have the Spirit of Christ. And the only way to get to the Spirit of Christ is to surrender and ask for forgiveness. That's the only way. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but by Him," or "but through Him," through Jesus. The next two verses, please. We'll do one right after another. And when Deronda was singing, the line that just makes my heart cry out and just want to sing hallelujah is when she said, when Jesus went to the cross, "Justice met grace." Oh, hallelujah. My sins were taken right then and right there. All I had to do was accept the free gift. And when I accept the free gift, Romans tells us there is therefore now no condemnation. I can't be condemned. I cannot be condemned. There's no way people on the outside might say, "Earl, you're just as bad a guy as you ever have been." No way. No way. The Lord says, I cannot be condemned. So it says, now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Next verse. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, and I love this part, He's made me free from the law of sin and death, just like that man in the coma. I believe, and I won't know until I get there, but I believe Jesus set him free. I believe Jesus can set you free. This is your day. Now, you might not know Christ today. If you don't, I beg you to come to the altar for prayer and just simply tell the Lord, "I'm sorry. I'm sorry, and I want you to be in my heart. I've made a mess of my life. I've wrecked it to the point I think it's of no return, but I know you can turn it around." You don't even have to do that here. You can do it when you leave. But I beg you, don't put it off. You might not have a last breath to do that. Just like the man in the coma, he didn't have long. And I've actually tried that on a couple others after the fact, and it never did anything. So I don't know. Maybe it was just a one-time thing God let me see. But if you are here and you don't know what else to do, maybe there's something in your life, if the singers would come. If there's something in your life that's just got you so downtrodden, so burdened, just come on up to the altar. God is here. This could be your day. You don't have to leave this house unsaved. You can have that comforter. You can have that Holy Spirit in you. And what did he say? He will abide with you forever. Heavenly Father, I've spoken the words, Lord, that I believe you have given me. I pray, Lord, that you will do with them now as you will. I pray, God, that you will move on this congregation. For we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, and soon coming King. Amen.